Last week, we're just going to kind of recap last week's message, and it was called, It is Useless Without It. Last week's message was, It is Useless Without It. And we had been talking about faith over the last couple of weeks, and that, you know, God requires faith. Faith pleases God. Faith brings about miracles in our lives. Amen? Amen. Faith pleases God, according to Hebrews 11:6. But last week, we talked about this, that faith without work, without action, is a useless faith, a faith that will not produce results. And maybe some of you have had this misconception that, you know, you can sit around and just wish and believe God for the miracle, have faith in God for the miracle He's going to bring about in your life, and that's good to have faith. God appreciates the faith, but God most likely is just not going to drop this miracle that you're believing for into your lap. Yes, He wants you to have faith. He wants you to believe that He can provide the miracle, but at the same time, He wants you to attach something to your faith. And what is that?
Work.
He wants you to attach work to your faith, action, deeds to your faith. And you've got to get up. You know, you may be sitting down believing God for your miracle, but you know what? You've got to get up and start doing something with your faith. Start adding work. Start adding action, deeds to your faith. Amen? Making sense? All right, today I want to talk about faith for healing. Faith for healing. Faith produces healing. You know, we serve a God who heals physical illness as well as emotional and mental illness. Let me say it again. We serve a God who heals physical illness as well as emotional and mental illness. Do you agree?
Amen.
What did the prophet Isaiah prophesy about Jesus? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. Today's message is faith produces healing. 53, verse 5. Talking about Jesus. Predicting the life and the ministry of Jesus. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds, we are healed. If we are healed, that means that we were healed. And if we were healed, that means in Jesus' name that we are healed. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 4? What did He reading from the prophets? Isaiah, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Talking about faith produces healing. Luke 4, verse 16. He went to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue, as was His custom, and He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to preach good news to the poor." What is good news to the poor? Good news to the poor is that you don't have to be poor anymore. That God wants to provide for your financial needs, your material needs, your physical needs. Not only does He want to provide for you, bring you provision, He wants to give you abundance so that you can bless others in your spheres of influence. "He has sent Me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." What does recovery of sight for the blind sound like? So it sounds like healing, physical healing. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me because He has anointed Me to bring recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The same Spirit rests upon you and me, lives on the inside of you and me. And we can go out to those who are sick, we can pray for them, and they can be healed in Jesus' name. Do you agree? All right. Let's talk about some instances of physical healing from the Gospels in the New Testament. Instances of physical healings. Matthew chapter 8. You might want to turn back to Gospels. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now you might be wondering, is it really God's will to heal me? Is God really willing to heal my infirmity, my emotional sickness, my mental illness? Is it God's will? And friend, I'm here to tell you today, yes, it is God's will to heal your body, to heal your emotions, to heal your mind. Can you say an amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, what did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6? This is how you should pray. Matthew 6, verse 9. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will be done on earth as it has been pre-established in heaven. Now, let me ask you this. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any disease, infirmity in heaven? Grief or sorrow? No, it's perfection, right? There is healing, health, and wholeness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time, right? So if God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven, what does that mean? That if heaven is full of healing and wholeness, we should have a taste of that healing and wholeness, physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing here on this earth as it is in heaven. That makes sense? If there's no sickness in heaven, there's no disease in heaven, we should have a taste of that here on this earth. A taste of heaven in 2011. So it is God's will to heal, right? Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Okay, let's turn to another instance. Matthew chapter 8. Let's go back one. Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Why did Jesus call it such great faith from the centurion? Why was it such great and pure faith? Anybody else?
He asked for it.
Okay, anybody else?
Because he was a leader.
All right.
He believed if he just said it would happen, it would happen.
Exactly. The centurion had a doubtless faith. He said, "Jesus, I'm a man with authority. I tell my soldiers, do this, and they do it. And Jesus, I am under your authority," because he calls Jesus Lord. He addresses Jesus not as teacher, not as Son of David. He addresses Jesus as Lord, the one in charge and rulership of my life. And he was demonstrating to Jesus that he had doubtless faith, because he said, "Jesus, you know, you don't even have to come under my roof. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." You know, just say the word and my servant will be healed. He was saying, "Jesus, I know that I know that I know deep down on the inside that you can heal my servant." And Jesus was like, "Wow, this is great faith. This man has a doubtless faith. This man knows that if I just say, be healed, servant, that that servant will be healed. This man has doubtless faith. I call this man's faith great faith." Does that make sense? That making sense today? Okay. Then it says this. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. Okay, we went through that. Verse 11. "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." All right, let's jump down to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. Amazing, huh? What healed the centurion's servant? The faith of whom? Of the centurion, right? It was a doubtless, childlike faith. Jesus called it great faith. Amen? All right. Matthew 9, we read Matthew 9 with the two blind men. We're going to go to Mark chapter 5. Actually, Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Another instance. A woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith." Your what has healed you? Your faith has healed you. Not your unbelief, not your doubt, but he said, "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that very moment. And it says in Mark chapter 5, the same instance that Mark records, verses 25 through 34, that this woman was saying, "If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be healed." And she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus turned around and said, "I just felt power go out of me." And his disciples were like, "What do you mean you just felt power go out of you? There's people bumping into you. What do you mean you were just touched and you felt power going out of you?" And Jesus was like, "This was a different type of touch." What kind of touch was it? It was a touch of faith. And because this woman had doubtless faith, it drew the power out of Jesus, and she received her physical healing. Is that making sense today?
Yeah, she didn't even say she needed a meeting. She didn't even talk to him. All she needed to do
was touch his garment. That's it. In Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 17, another instance. Remember, Jesus heals physically, right? God heals physically. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago is the Jesus that can heal your infirmity today. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? That means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who healed these people we just talked about 2,000 years ago is the Jesus who is with us today in spirit, wanting to heal you of your infirmity, be it physical, emotional, or mental. We serve a miracle-working God. Don't let anybody or anything tell you any differently. Miracles have not ceased. They have not stopped. Miracles continue on today, and God wants to do a miracle in your life. A physical miracle, an emotional miracle, a mental miracle. He can heal you up mentally in your mind. Matthew chapter 17. Healing of a boy with a demon. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Verse 14. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they cannot heal him." Man, Jesus equated deliverance from demons as healing. "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, verse 18, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Why could not the disciples drive the demon out?
No faith.
No faith. What did it take to drive the demons out?
Faith.
And who had that faith in this instance? Who had the faith in this instance? It was Jesus. He said, "All I'm looking for is mustard seed sized faith. And if you have that little bit of faith, you can tell the mountain of sickness in your life, the mountain of demon possession and oppression in your life, to go from here to there, and it will move. You will be set free in Jesus' name." You agree with that? Faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, a friend of mine is a missionary to North India. And he runs orphanages in North India. His wife has some in Northeast India. And he was recalling to me an incident that occurred some years ago where he had, in one of his orphanages, a little girl who was demon-possessed. And basically, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but the demons basically were communicating that they did not want to leave this little girl. She was manifesting all kinds of demonic activity going on in her life. And so my friend's wife came up to the little girl and tried praying that the demon would leave. And guess what? It didn't leave. It just stayed. Negotiated with her, did not want to leave, and stayed. So my friend came up, and my friend always, when I sit with him and talk with him, he always inspires me concerning his faith in God. He really is a man of faith, and God has done great miracles in his life, this missionary friend from North India, because of his great faith. And so he says he came up behind his wife and prayed for the little girl. In the name of Jesus, I command you, demon, to come out. And then he says, burn under the anointing. Burn under God's anointing. And the demon left the little girl. I said, bro, how is she today? He said, she's fine. She is set free. She's a follower of Christ. She's grown up. She's a responsible student. She's doing great. She is a changed girl.
Amen.
Amen. It was the faith in him, his faith in God, his faith in Christ, his relationship with Christ, with God, that set the little girl free. If he can do it because he's got faith, friends, let me tell you this, you can do it as well. But there's one thing God requires of us, is that relationship with Christ. Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith in him, you can try to use the name of Jesus, and guess what? The sick won't get healed. The demon possessed will not be set free. But if you've got that relationship with Jesus, and you use the name of Jesus in prayer, by faith, those who are oppressed and sick will be set free. Amen? Could you say amen to that? So I encourage you today, you've got to have that relationship with Jesus. Build your relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Son. Now, we read quite a few instances, right, of the Gospels of healing.
Sure.
What was the common string that ran through every single instance? What was it that brought about those physical healings?
Endless faith.
The deliverance from demons. What was it?
Endless faith.
Endless faith. Doubtless faith. Childlike faith brought about, produced healing in their lives. Do you agree today?
Amen.
All right. Now, these people did something in addition to their faith in order to bring about their physical healing.
Amen.
An action, exactly. For instance, let's talk about some of the instances that we just talked about. We talked about the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. What did the centurion have to do? The centurion believed that Jesus could heal his servants. But what did he do? He did something in addition, or added something to his faith. He added action. You're like, what do you mean he added action? What did he do?
He went to Jesus.
Exactly. It says it in the scriptures. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, a centurion came to him. In other words, the centurion left where he was, and he picked himself up, and he walked over to where Jesus was and talked with Jesus. He had to do something. He had to walk to where Jesus was and talk with Jesus and say, Jesus, just say it and my servant will be healed. He had to do something with his faith. Do you agree? And that action attached to his faith brought about physical healing. Amen? Now, the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. She had faith, right, that Jesus could heal her. You agree? But she had to do something with her faith. What was it?
Same faith. Go to him.
Same exact thing. A woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched. Not only did she come to Jesus, not only did she follow Jesus to where he was, she stretched out her arm, she did something, and she touched the hem of his garments. She had to do something with her faith. I'm here to tell you today, friends, that the same Jesus who healed these people can heal your life today. He requires faith. He's pleased with faith. But he wants you to do something with your faith. He wants you to get up and do something. You might be wondering today, well, what can I do to receive my healing? What can I do to receive my healing? How many here believe that Jesus can heal them in some area? He's wanting you to do something. It may be your health right now that is suffering. Maybe you've got high blood pressure. Maybe it's heart problems, right? What could you do with your faith in order to bring about that miracle? If you've got high blood pressure, how could you fix that? You could be like, God, I believe that you can heal me. Jesus, I just know that I know that I know that you can heal me of high blood pressure.
Lay hands on yourself.
You can lay, okay. Anybody else? You might do something in the natural, such as what? Change your diet. Eat more healthy. Start a better or have a better exercise regimen in the natural. Stop eating all of the fatty foods. You see? You know, if your lungs, if you're having a hard time breathing, and you smoke cigarettes, and you're believing God to heal your lungs, you can believe all you want, and if you don't stop smoking them cigarettes, guess what? You're still going to continue breathing hard and heavy with difficulty. You can believe God to heal your lungs if you're a smoker, but what could you do in the natural? Quit. Take action. Start a program to overcome cigarette smoking before it's too late, friend. Have an uncle who lived on the East Coast, and he must have smoked for 50 plus years. And a couple of two or three years ago, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. Smoked like a chimney. And the doctors told him, you've got lung cancer. It went to his brain eventually. And when he found out that he had lung cancer, he immediately, like cold turkey, quit the cigarettes. But it was too late. He lasted probably about another year and a half or two beyond that, and he ended up dying fairly young, just last year, actually. But, you know, the word today is this, you know, do something about it with your faith before it's too late. If you've got liver problems and you drink a lot, what's one of the things you could do? You can believe that God can heal your liver. You can believe all you want, but if you keep drinking in excess, guess what? Your liver may still suffer. Does that make sense? All right, you got to do something with your faith for physical healing. Now, I want to read you a story. It's called The Price of a Miracle. The Price of a Miracle. Tess was a precocious 8-year-old when she heard her mom and dad talking about her little brother Andrew. All she knew was that he was very sick and that they were completely out of money. They were moving into an apartment complex next month because her daddy didn't have the money for the doctor bills in the house. Only a very costly surgery would save him now, and it was looking like there was no one to loan them the money. She heard her daddy say to her tearful mother with whispered desperation, "Only a miracle can save him now." Tess went into her bedroom, pulled out a glass jelly jar from its hiding place in the closet. She poured all of the change out on the floor and counted it carefully. 3 times even. The total had to be exactly perfect. No chance here for mistakes. Carefully placing the coins back in the jar and twisting on the cap, she slipped out of the back door and made her way to six blocks to Rexall's drugstore with the big Indian Red Chief sign above the door. She waited patiently for the pharmacist to give her some attention, but he was too intently talking to another man to be bothered by an 8-year-old at this moment. Tess twisted her feet to make a scuffing noise. Nothing. She cleared her throat with the most disgusting sound she could muster. No good. Finally, she took a quarter from her jar and banged it on the glass counter. That did it. "And what do you want?" the pharmacist asked in an annoyed tone of voice. "I'm talking to my brother from Chicago, whom I haven't seen in ages," he said without waiting for a reply to his question. "Well, I want to talk to you about my brother," Tess answered back in the same annoyed tone. "He's really, really sick, and I want to buy a miracle." "I beg your pardon," said the pharmacist. "His name is Andrew, and he has something bad growing inside his head, and my daddy says only a miracle can save him now." "So how much does a miracle cost?" "Well, we don't sell miracles here, little girl. I'm sorry, but I can't help you," the pharmacist said, softening a little. "Listen, I have the money to pay for it. If it isn't enough, I will get the rest. Just tell me how much it costs." The pharmacist's brother was a well-dressed man. He stopped, he stooped down, and asked the little girl, "What kind of miracle does your brother need?" "I don't know," Tess replied with her eyes welling up. "I just know he's really sick, and my mommy says he needs an operation. But my daddy can't pay for it, so I want to use my money." "How much do you have?" asked the man from Chicago. $1.11. Tess answered barely audibly, "And it's all the money I have, but I can get some more if I need to." "Well, what a coincidence," smiled the man. $1.11. He took her money in one hand, and with the other, he grasped her mitten and said, "Take me to where you live. I want to see your brother and meet your parents. Let's see if I have the kind of miracle you need." That well-dressed man was Dr. Carlton Armstrong, a surgeon specializing in neurosurgery. The operation was completed without charge, and it wasn't long until Andrew was home again and doing well. Mom and Dad were happily talking about the chain of events that had led them to this place. "That surgery," her mom whispered, "was a real miracle." "I wonder how much it would have cost." Tess smiled. She knew exactly how much a miracle cost. $1.11. Plus the faith of a little child. Isn't that amazing? And the little children, the Bible says, shall lead them. Well, it's on the internet. I was studying it, and they say that it's really it's not known whether it is one way or the other. They're kind of neutral on it. It's kind of undisclosed. But anyway,
we'll just have the faith that was true.
It's it, man. It makes a good point, doesn't it? It makes a really good point. She had faith, but she did something. She had faith for her brother's healing. Would you agree? She did something with her faith. What did she do? What did she do with her faith? She gathered the little bit of money that she had. She went to the pharmacy. And she ended up talking to Carlton Armstrong, who performed the surgery on her brother. Friends, you know what? God sometimes uses surgery and doctors to bring about physical healing. So you may be sick in your body. You may be ailing right now. Guess what? You have faith that God can heal you? Yes, God can heal you. But you could do something in the natural. You can visit a physician and talk to him. Have them examine you. Is that making sense? God wants to heal your body. God wants to heal your emotions. God wants to heal your mind starting today. Only believe. All things are possible to him who believes. But with that believing, we've got to do something, right? We've got to take action. And I'm here to tell you, friend, your miracle is on the threshold. It is hanging in the balance. God is about to do something wonderful in your life. Not for you to keep it just to yourself, but you then to share that good news, that miracle, with other people around you. Amen?
Amen.
God is good all the time. Faith produces healing.